Okay, we continue in the Sefer Bilvavi. We're on the bottom of page Kuf Ayin Zayin. And again, the Tzaddik is telling us how our fear of sin, our fear of punishment, the Yisurim we go through, should all be done with a certain degree of Simcha. And we're at the bottom of the page, and he's saying the difference is if you're just fearing Gehenna and not Hashem, then you're going to want to run away from it. If you're even just fearing that Hashem is the one who's making it without thinking anymore, you're going to want to run away from Hashem. But if you're going to think of the fact that why that Hashem is doing this for you, and it's for your benefit, then you're going to realize that, you know, you really do want to stay close to Hashem. And every time you do an Aveira, it takes you away from Hashem. And then Hashem has to put you in Gehenna to get you back to being close to Him. So then you start thinking, you know, it's better not to do this Aveira because I don't want to stay very far away from Hashem. And so we're at the bottom of the paragraph there. And the last point he said was when a person understands that having fear is the will of Hashem, and that is how you fulfill God's will by being afraid of doing the Aveira, it comes out that the fear is a mitzvah, and by definition, mitzvah must connect you to Hashem. Zoi nekuda ma'od amuka benefesh is a very deep concept in the soul. V'nidreshes lekach avoda tzumen requires very intense work. Kimeduma, as it appears, achas mehata'uyos hagedolos shetoyim v'em ovdei Hashem. One of the big mistakes that the people who serve Hashem make, he benekuda zos into this point. Adam shakua beyira, o shemefachet megehenim v'nisrachet minei. A person who is sunk in this state of fear, either he's afraid of Gehenna, and therefore he distances himself from Hashem, or he's afraid of Hashem who will punish him in Gehenna. Next page, Baza Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nitvas Etzlo Kidmus Kivyachal I Efshalis Bate. Then it comes out that if that's what you're thinking, then Hashem is, you attach to Hashem a certain vision, as it were, which we really shouldn't express, you know, a vision of something really scary. God becomes a scary and vengeful God in your eyes. Memela bishnei afanim alo, in these two ways, we just said, you may get to fear Hashem. But that very self-same fear will distance yourself, God forbid, from Hashem. And that can't be. And that's a big mistake that people feel. They're afraid of Gehenna, they're afraid of Hashem. And anybody you're afraid of, you don't want to be that close to. And now he comes to the point, to the punch. This is a fundamental point that you must understand. There is no point in the service of Hashem, there's no aspect of the service of Hashem which does not connect you to, which does not connect the person to Hashem. Every aspect of your avodas Hashem must attach you to Hashem. There's no such thing as a part of being a Jew that's meant to push you away from Hashem. No part. Ava vade mikasher sanobori. Certainly, the idea of loving Hashem certainly attaches you to God. Dveikus vade mikasher sanobori. Having dveikus, that status of binding with Hashem, that certainly connects with Hashem. But you're obliged to understand that fear also connects a person to Hashem, and not any less than love of Hashem connects you to Hashem. It can't connect you any less. It's no different of a mitzvah. You have 613 mitzvahs. You have six constant mitzvahs. One constant mitzvah is to love Hashem. One constant mitzvah is to fear Hashem. Every mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah, it means it has to connect you to Hashem. That's all there is to it. So, it's like what I mentioned on Yontif, but I think it bears repeating this idea where This part I didn't say. Where the Gemara in Shabbos discusses the apparent contradictions in the book of Koheles. In one place in Koheles it says, Vishavachti Anias HaSimcha, where Shlomo Melech says, I give praise to Simcha. Simcha is a good thing to have. And then earlier on in the Sefer he writes, Ula Simcha Mazu Oseh, and what does Simcha do for you? It's a blatant contradiction. Gemara says, Lokasha Sanakasha. He says, and then there's a few other contradictions, but let's get back to the one that we need. So he says, Vashabachti Ani Asa Simcha, I praise Simcha, Zu Simcha Shel Mitzvah. It's the Simcha of a Mitzvah. The Simcha that you have when you're doing a Mitzvah, that's the Simcha I praise. Ula Simcha Mazu El Se, and the Simcha, what's it worth? Zu Simcha Shel Mitzvah. This is a Simcha that does not come from a Mitzvah. It's a, what do you call it? A masquerading simcha, a phony simcha. You think you're happy. And that kind of happiness, what's it worth? Right? You come back from Marineland and you were happy. You went to Marineland. Ah, what's that simcha worth? You did a mitzvah. You shook a little of an esrog. Ah, I'm so, I have so many praises to say for simcha. Gemara continues. L'lamdcha to teach you. Shein Shechina Shaira, that the Divine Presence does not rest on anyone, not when they're depressed, not when they're sad, not from levity and jokes, and not from just schmoozing, and not just from silly words, which most people would assume that that's where Simcha will get you. Ela mitoch dvar Simcha Shel Mitzvah, but only from Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's the only time the Divine Presence rests on a person, when he has the simcha from doing a mitzvah. So the Eitz Yosef commentary in the Ein Yaakov says the following on that, this last part. It's interesting that Shlomo, so what does it come out now? What's the real joy coming from? The mitzvah, right? So now there's a problem. So why didn't Shlomo Melech say, right? I give praise to the mitzvah. But rather, he says, I give praise to simcha. Right? If it's the simcha that comes out of doing a mitzvah, so he should have said, I praise a mitzvah.
You can do a mitzvah without simcha.
Oh, so that's what he's saying. But he says, I only praise simcha, and we're saying it's a simcha shel mitzvah. It must be coming to teach you that the main thing is the simcha. That's the whole point. The whole point is the simcha that comes as a result of the mitzvah, because the Shekhinah doesn't come on a person only if they're happy when they're doing a mitzvah. But if you're doing a mitzvah in an unhappy state, or whatever other state, or in a frivolous state, right? You've had 10 drinks on Simchas Torah, and you're really happy with the Torah. You're not happy with the Torah. You're happy that you're drunk. Right? That's not Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Right? The Shekhinah doesn't go on such a person. Shekhinah does not go on a person who does a mitzvah when they're not happy about it. By definition, a mitzvah must make you happy. I mean, the way we have translated Simcha already. We have to keep remembering how we're translating Simcha. Right? Or as the Magid Mishnah that I did mention on Yom Tov, but it all bears repeating because none of that has been saved for posterity on the tape recorder. Right? Everyone forgets it. This way we can have some memory. Right? The Rambam says in Hilchos Lulav, Perches, Halacha Tesvav, he says, the simcha that a person should have when he does a mitzvah, and with his love of Hashem, that Hashem commanded us, it's a big avoda. It's a big avoda. And anybody who holds himself back from the simcha is worthy to be punished. As it says in Parshas Kisavo in the Tochacha, after all, during all the curses, it says, Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem elokecha besimcha betuv levav. Because you didn't serve Hashem, your God, with simcha and with a good heart. So, the Magid Mishnah explains on that. And he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. He says, "V'ikar adover." The main thing is, "Shein roil alodim lasas a mitzvah mitzad shein chova alov." person should not do a mitzvah because he feels it's an obligation, a debt he has to pay. It's a yoke on him. And he has to do it. Don't do mitzvahs because you feel you're forced to do them. No. But you got to... such a small print over here. But you're obliged to do them with joy, and you do them. You do what's good because it's good, and the truth will come out at the end, and it'll be a lot easier and less difficult for you to do it if you're doing it out of a sense of you're happy to do it. Why? Because that's what he was created for. Why should I be happy when I'm doing a mitzvah? Because that's what I was created for. L'shamesh eskono, to serve your maker. And when you do that which you were created for, yismach v'yogil, you'll be very happy. Why? L'fisha simcha shar dvorim plubit dvorim betalim. Other joys depend on nothing thing. You know, silly things, which don't last. But the simcha happens when you do a mitzvah, when you learn Torah. That's a true simcha that lasts forever. That's what we learned in the Chovas Avavas, at the end of Shara Avodas Elokim. When should you exercise the attribute of simcha? When you do something that you know you'll have forever and will never get mixed in and messed up. And that only happens when you do a pure mitzvah. That's the only place to be really besimcha, when you're doing a mitzvah. That's it. That's why the pasuk doesn't say, I bring all these calamities upon you because you didn't have simcha. It says, lo avadata, that's Hashem al-kach with simcha. You didn't serve Hashem with simcha. Meaning to say, the only place you can get simcha from is by serving Hashem. You can't have any simcha if it's not from serving Hashem. That's it. There's no such thing. If Hashem is not in the equation, there's no such thing as simcha. It's just an illusion. It's masquerading as simcha. There's a smile on the person's face, but it's coming from a false place. And the biggest proof is, as soon as you finish it, you're not happy anymore. And you're just as depressed as you started. Right? So this is a fundamental yisod. That the whole point, if you're not jumping for joy in the spiritual sense, right? You don't have to jump. But that's why we did the Piazetzner piece when the Rebbe did somersaults. He explains his feelings of why he was doing somersaults, because he was so besimcha. Right? So, and that's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that it's so important that when a person is living his Yiddishkeit in front of his children, he should be so besimcha. He has to do it besimcha. Because if it's not besimcha, then the kids realize that Yiddishkeit is not a happy religion. And therefore, it'll be a turnoff for them. And where are they supposed to learn how they're supposed to act in their religion if not from your parents? So therefore, he says, if you say, oh, it's so hard to keep Shabbos, so hard to this. So the kid says, why should I bother doing it? And if you tell his mom, it's Shabbos, it's amazing, I'm so excited, I'm so happy that Shabbos is coming. Whoa! So the kids will realize that this is the real simcha in your life. Right? So therefore, coming back to our piece over here. So if fearing Hashem is a mitzvah, then it has to be besimcha. If it's not besimcha, it isn't a mitzvah. Right? A mitzvah is designed to connect you to Hashem, and that is the shleimus that you get, and that's the only simcha you can have in life, is by being attached to Hashem. There is no other simcha in life. Kirvas Elokim Litov. If that's the only simcha. So the mitzvahs are designed to get you closer to Hashem. And if you're closer to Hashem, that is what you were created for, and that's when you should be happy. Because then you have the total shleimus, you have the total package of completeness that has come in your, that's what you were made to live for. So part of, if God said one of the things that will make you, that will connect you to me is by having fear, then that will give you the simcha. It has to. It's a mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, it has to give you simcha. Right? So that's what Tzadik is trying to tell us. We got to realize that you've got to have a solid degree of simcha in this fear, no less than when you are expressing your love for Hashem. Right? So this is like, for most people, they don't know this. They don't know this. And therefore, this is part of the religion they don't want to deal with, because it's an unhappy part of the religion. But it's a very important part, because as we'll see as we move on in the next chapters, because, you know, if you don't have this fear of Hashem, what will happen? What will happen if you don't have this fear of Hashem? You will do aveiros. Plain and simple. And guess what an aveira is? If we've defined what a mitzvah is, then what's an aveira? An aveira is going to distance you from Hashem, and you'll automatically start feeling depressed. And you won't know why. You go to psychologists, psychiatrists, you're depressed. You know why you're depressed? You're doing aveiras. Why? Because your neshama feels distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why you're depressed. And then when you do your mitzvahs, they can't be very happy. Because now that you feel distanced from Hashem, so when you're doing the mitzvahs, even the mitzvahs aren't making you feel close to Hashem. You know, lahavdil. Person's married for 20 years, right? Then he has an affair with somebody, right? Now, can he be with, and his wife doesn't know, right? Now, can he feel the same joy of being with his wife now that he has this other affair as the joy he had before he had the affair? So even when when he's with the other woman, for sure he's far away from his wife. Okay, so now when he's with his wife, doing the same things he did 2 years ago before the affair, does he feel that connection with the wife now? Can't be, because he's directing his energy somewhere else. So he doesn't even enjoy being with the wife. It's one of the big signs, you know, not necessarily, but one reason why, if you notice the husband that is upset with the wife, you know, for unexplainable reasons, that's one of the explainable reasons. Right? It can't be otherwise. Right? So if you realize that, you know what, it's a good thing I have this fear of punishment, because if this fear of punishment keeps me away from doing this Aveira, because I don't want to disappoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that keeps you connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So that's all, there has to be a sense of Simcha shel mitzvah, when you are activating Yiras Hashem. So when you're thinking about Gehenna, you're thinking, why does Hashem want me to think about Gehenna? Must be there's a reason to make me love Him more. Why would I love Hashem more if He makes Gehenna? You know why? Because if He didn't make Gehenna, I would forever be distant from Him. And the Gehenna is going to purify me. But you know what? Hashem is not going to enjoy sending me to Gehenna. He's going to be crying as much as I'm crying when I'm Gehenna. Why do I want to make Hashem cry? I love Hashem. So you know what? I won't do the Avera. It's like the husband who resists the overtures of the Barracuda. If he resists it, and he resists it for the right reason, he says, you know, I love my wife. I wouldn't want to hurt her. Okay, so in this moment, this Barracuda looks more exciting than my wife. You say, but that's an Irish guy. What's going to happen? It doesn't make any sense. You know, I love my wife. Why would I want to hurt her? So I have to give in on the little impulse that I have right now, and that's all. It's going to make you hate your wife now that you spurned the Barracuda. You should love your wife even more. See, I care about you so much that I wouldn't consider it, even though it looked very appealing at the moment. Right? It's meant to enhance the love, not to say, oh, look what I have to give up to be stuck with my wife. I have to lose all this fun. Right? That's the other way of looking at it, right? Okay, yeah, question?
Just if you wouldn't mind to define again simcha.
The Maharal says simcha is a state of shleimus that a person experiences through his soul. That is the precise definition.
Okay, but just to distinguish it from doing cartwheels when you're doing a mitzvah, like...
You can feel so connected to Hashem, you lose control of your body. The neshama is jumping. The neshama is making the cartwheel, not your body. The neshama is just exploding. So when the neshama explodes, it has to take the body with it sometimes. That's what you find in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkos. The tzaddikim were juggling, were doing this and that. Their neshamas were just... So the body had to join the neshama.
But it's not... You made a comment yesterday that's not... It's not... let's say you're not doing that.
You're not doing what?
you know, juggling.
Listen, you still can be with simcha. I mean, there's different levels of simcha. Remember, Sukkos is Zman Simcha Seinu. It's the simcha of all simchas. You know, you have to be more besimcha on Sukkos the whole year long. Why? Because that's when you're getting the, you know, it's like when you give a person a shot, you know, vaccine, you get the big dose. The big dose comes when the vaccine's coming in, and it'll have a residual effect the entire year, right? You got the cold, the flu shot, right? You're probably least likely to get a flu like a couple days after you got the shot. But maybe, you know, a year later, you're more likely to get the flu, right? So Sukkos is mamish, the injection. It's all you could put into the system. So at that point, it's way more than what the body is used to having, and it can't contain it. So you start jumping. But you're not meant to jump the whole year. You're only meant to jump once a year. Because that's when you're getting the injection. But it keeps you throughout the year with that state of simcha. Yeah. Well, that's
so
the same thing.
Same thing. So what he said is, this is how you can be the simcha on Tisha B'Av. This is how you can be the simcha.
It's the same thing we're going to talk about. Yeah.
But you're not going to be jumping for joy, but it's the simcha of knowing you're.
It's the shleimus. It's the shleimus. That sense of that every piece of the puzzle is fitting into place. Shleimus means you see the beginning, you see the middle, you see the end. The beginning, your neshama was under the kisei hakavod. At the end, you're supposed to be back there, but having earned it and having grown, and these are all the steps that bring you to there. If you see the whole package, then you're happy, right? When are people stressed out? You know, when you're trying to find an address. First time. Most people feel stress. Now you don't. There's a GPS. You don't have to feel anymore. But in the good old days, right, it's like you want to get this place, you can't find it. You know, sometimes they give you direct, you know, to find this place. Even with a GPS, you can't find this place. Right? And sometimes people call and they say, I don't get it. I drove around for a half an hour, I couldn't find your place. That's what I'm saying. Right? You can't find it. It becomes frustrating because you don't see the end. You don't see where you're going. You don't see where this is leading you. Right? So, if people don't, you know, think about, you got to think about Olam Haba, you got to think about Mashiach. This is the end result. That's the goal. And that's got to be on your mind while you're doing things over here as well. Then you have a simcha. So you realize that everything in the world is leading us to that point. And I'm on the track. So you have to be the simcha. Do the simcha. Okay. So now, Keshime, third paragraph. Keshime vina nekudazu. When you get this point, you benefit two ways. Number one, who obeyed bitsura amitis. First of all, you're serving in the correct way. And when you are engaged in fear mode, you are not being distanced from Hashem. That's point number one. And point number two, Vasheni, Yeshnam Rabim Hammefachadim Lahaska Lavodal Yirasonis. There's many people who are afraid to begin this process of working on your fear of punishment. Came a because they're afraid to become depressed. They're afraid that through this fear, they're going to constantly live their life in fear. And therefore, what do they therefore choose? Right? Why? What's one of the reasons people, you know, aren't interested in following up on their Judaism? Because they're saying, you know, I'd rather not know what's going to happen to me. So, they'd rather live, as it were, in a calm world. To know that Hashem loves them and wants them. In other words, they don't want to hear that God makes holocausts. They don't want to know that. So what happened? It was Hitler who did it. What about God? You know, he's still good, but not all the time. He's not strong enough. Whatever. I don't want to think about punishments. I don't want to think about suffering. I want everything to be nice. You know, we're not going to teach our kids the parts in the Torah that talk about the Holocausts. I don't want them to be scared. Right? And therefore, I don't want to work on it. I don't want to think about the punishments. I want everything to be calm. Right? That's the second mistake. People don't want to work on Yiras Oynish. because they think it's so bad and so sad. But if you understand the depths of fear of punishment, it's like the category, as it says in Sefer Devarim. Just like a father disciplines his son, so does Hashem discipline you. So now, because a father loves a son, so that's why he disciplines him. Although, unfortunately, in today's society, that's not the case. And most parents discipline their kids because they don't love their kids and they want to take revenge on their kids and vent their anger. But that, Hashem hasn't sunk to that level yet.
Not yet, not never.
I'm saying, b'chol mako mako, with every frask, with every patch, even though externally there is a hit, there is a punishment, but hazer ma'pnimi, but the internal energy, who Abba is father. It's fatherly energy that's doing that. Memela, therefore, betocha yira asmo, even within the fear, aramotzes abayom, he finds God. Hu lekeach asayad, you take the hand, hamaka that just hits you, umenashe, because when you kiss it, kizu hayad shel Abba shelo, because that's the hand of his father. Hu margish asahava, hamitis besoch yira asonish, he sees the true love within the punishment. He says, my father, if he hit me, it's because he loves me. Because he wants me to be a better person. And therefore, you have to kiss the hand that hits you. Because you're lucky that the hand is hitting you. Right? Maran ha'gon, Rav Shach, Zatzal, Hisbatei Pam, Rav Shach expressed once, Shorom ha'chayim bar'yom, if a person really lives with Hashem, gam betocha gehenem atzmo, even when he's in burning in gehenem, but if you're connected to Hashem, hu kashul bar'yom, he's connected to Hashem. Even in Gehenna, because you know, Hashem is the one giving it to you because he wants to fix you up. If you wouldn't have been so stupid and made all those mistakes, you wouldn't have to get it, but now you have to get it. Ein mahalach shel nifredes mekadosh baruch Hashem, there's never a path of separateness from Hashem. Lo mishana im ze'ava tefilu amuna, it doesn't matter if it's love, prayer, or faith. Adam tzarchli skashel abari b'kol nekuda, a person has to connect to his creator on all points, mikol matzav in every situation, mikol derech b'avod in every pathway of service, v'achas madrochem v'karmli skashel abari olam, he hears Hashem, and one of the main pathways is fear of Hashem. And that's got to connect you to Hashem. Let's finish up this chapter, another two paragraphs. Yiras ha'enesh, he called him, call Yiras Hashem, so what precedes fear of punishment? Fear of Hashem. But v'lo yirei stam, not just stam fear, not I'm afraid. It's a fear of Hashem. And then comes the fear of the punishment. Kishikos v'n yiras Hashem. When you write the word yiras Hashem, anashim chavshim shekavon arakli yiras ha-rebim mus o'ula yiras ha-chet. People think it only refers to the fear of God's greatness and fearing of sin, which is the higher levels. But even fear of punishment is complete, essential fear of Hashem. When you live this way, when you understand this idea, then you connect to Hashem on the same way when you're afraid of the punishment, on the same way as if you're afraid to let Him down when you're in the midst of a mitzvah or even beyond mitzvahs. And here's the story, finally. Yesh na ma'aseh yidua by Admar Rabbi Chaim Itzanz. Story with Rabbi Chaim Itzanzer. He says, Keshechazer, it's stories like this. Keshechazer melavayis beno. He came back from his son's funeral, which cannot be anything worse than that. A son's funeral is the worst situation. Hayanira samech, he appeared to be in a state of simcha. Sholama hasimcha, asking him, what's the simcha about? Vuna b'mashah, he answered with a very brief analogy. Adam halach b'rachov makabu makal ashchem. A guy is walking the street and he feels someone hits him in the back. He doesn't know who it is. Somebody whacks him in the back. Who near Salacharov, he gets nervous, you know, looks behind him. Who gave me up? Who just hit me? He says it's his good friend who gave him a slap on the back. How you doing? He found out who that was. Right? That's what it is. It's a love tap. Right? When you hit a kid, what's that? That was a love tap. Right? It's a love, you know, how you doing? Whack! You know, sometimes it's a hug, sometimes it's a love tap. So when you give birth to a baby, it's a hug. When Chas V'Shalom Hashem takes your baby away, it's a love tap. Because that's part of the connection to Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu Yebes Reinu Sheniska Kolon Liskari Leboyre Bechol Shal Vechol Shmatzav Lius Dvukim Bo Yisbrach Kol Yom Hashem. He ends off with a tefillah. Hashem should help us that we should merit to all become close to Hashem at every level in every situation in life, to be connected to Hashem all the days of our life.